that specific bylaw.
Go ahead.
Just when Mike was mentioning that, I was wondering, what about like St. Stephen's and that? Would in the future, would we change it so that if that someone wanted to rent that out for a wedding, get photos or something? So can we could update it, or should be included now?
Might be a little premature to include it now.
Yeah. Well,
looking
I
at the building
so.
The way it is. It's something that could be added.
Added, okay.
So, when we discussed this, I believe it was in 2016, then there was a sort of a summary chart of the costs of running the facility and the revenue that was received, just to be able to make some type of informed decision on if these rates were comparable. And as well, at one time, there was an inventory taken on a regular basis of all of the assets in the community center. Just wondering if that is still part of the process.
The fees recommended within this new fees and charges bylaw were based on our area municipalities and what they charge, so that we stay competitive. The treasurer could do a cost summary. I don't know if it would be worthwhile, as we do have a lot of community groups that do rent the hall at no charge. So I don't know what the purpose of putting the treasurer's time to show how much the center's costs and what revenue we're receiving, because we know it's a lot lower than maintenance and upkeep and utilities.
So one of the notes in the report regarding comparing with other facilities of different municipalities in the area were that no two facilities were the same, so it was hard to compare the two. And it looks like the inventory was done February, October. Looks like at least once a year the inventory was done on the, if not more frequently, at least once a year on the assets in the kitchen and the community center.
And that can continue moving forward as well. Currently, our custodian is working in a different position within the municipality. Once she returns to her custodial position, she does intend to keep inventories, running lists, and ensuring that the asset list is kept up to date.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'm thinking in that situation, you'd want to do it fairly often. Not necessarily after every rental, but if possible. Because that's when things go missing and you don't know they're missing until a year later. So where is that? So the inventory is important, I think. And then you also have an idea at that point what has to be upgraded, what has to renew and purchase. I mean, the chairs, I think, have been renewed, what, 3 times at least? Maybe 4?
Yeah, I don't know now.
They've had different covers put on them.
Right. At least twice.
The oil.
And the tables at least twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, weren't they orange to begin with?
Orange to begin with. Anything else for facilities? So that's going to show up there somehow in the security or the...
Yeah,
back up. You got that? Okay. On to waste disposal. That's probably right out of the transfer station bylaw.
Correct. So again, the transfer station bylaw would need to be either amended or appealed to reflect that the fees and charges are within the fees and charges bylaw and not the transfer station bylaw.
Councilor Kagan?
So in previous versions, then it mentioned, second line from the bottom, in the charts, refrigeration equipment that has a notice issued under section 9.91 of Ontario Regulation 18994 as amended attached to the equipment, no charge. Then below that there was a line that said any equipment without this with this notice attached to the equipment, not accepted.
Okay, we will add that back in.
noticed that too with a couple of things. I thought maybe they were going with just what we're actually charging for, and they didn't put in what's not accepted, because otherwise it gets confusing to people. Although we can certainly put it in there, I guess, straight out of the bylaw. For instance, the boats and all kinds of things too that we just don't accept. Should they go into a fees and charges because we're not accepting them, or should we let the public know that they're not accepted and put a not accepted as opposed to no charge or an actual fee? So that's what we have to decide. Should it go in there? And if it's going to disappear from the transfer station bylaw, probably a good idea to put it in here, just that they're not accepted. Like hazardous waste doesn't show up here. It's not acceptable. Do we list everything that's not acceptable in a fees and charges bylaw? I don't know.
Well, I think this one in particular, and then on line 1, 2, 3, 4, where it says scrap metal, I think you can just keep recycling stream, ferrous, non-ferrous, remove white goods. Because then all of a sudden, if you say white goods, no charge, then you're referring to refrigerators. But if you keep it to ferrous, non-ferrous, then it's not referring to something specific such as white goods. But I think having the refrigeration equipment not accepted is pretty important, because we actually have a sign at the transfer station referring to this regulation, and I think it should be in the fees and charges bylaw to make it very specific, because this is Ontario regulation why this why refrigeration equipment is not accepted. So,
and then I would suggest that we go all out and put in all the other things that we don't accept.
We could.
To make it comparable,
yeah,
to what's in the transfer now.
Yeah.
And I know there's no reference here to brush and leaves.
Yeah.
I know we're discussing those. And also the free period, there's nothing in there. So what, because it's still up in the air and things may change, maybe that's why it was left out at this point.
I don't know if council would be interested in having like a line underneath the table to state that any material you don't see included in this chart, please refer to the fees and the transfer station bylaw to ensure that's accepted. That
yeah, except that some of those are only seen in the chart. If that chart's disappearing for fees, then we have to make sure it's a line item somewhere else. So.
Right, or within the transfer station bylaw, we just change a chart to not necessarily have fees, but
right,
accepted and non-accepted material.
Right. Could do that.
So we can bring forward the transfer station bylaw for discussion with this fees and charges as well.
But I think that's a good point regarding the brush and leaves. It needs to be somewhere because there is a charge on it. So
well,
it's $30, but then there's times of the year that there is no charge.
Right.
But it's interesting that in 2011, the charge for that was $50 a load. So do we want to increase the cost so that we reduce how many loads are coming into the transfer station?
Good point. And as I say, that's we have to discuss that in more detail. As we mentioned before, is it something we want to continue offering as a service? So this might be subject to an amendment, depending on what happens. Anything for our planet? One question, I guess, halfway down, fee in lieu of parkland dedication. It says 5% of the assessed value. And it used to be appraised, I guess, right? Yeah. And now, when it says assessed value, is that 2016? Or
So the problem with the fee in lieu of parkland dedication is the interpretation. So appraised value can mean a couple different things. Council could opt to have the appraised value be determined by an appraiser with the Appraisal Institute of Canada designation. This adds a significant cost to the applicants. They've gone through the consent application process, severing lots, and now they have to pay an extra couple $1,000s for an appraisal, which if they're not selling the lot, they really don't need. So for the township to calculate the parkland fee, they argue that why do I have to pay for the $1,000 plus appraisal? So currently, to help with that, we've been accepting a realtor's letter of opinion, which is much cheaper than an appraisal, but again, the valuation can differ. Some municipalities use the assessed value, although noted by Mayor Moore, that value is a lot less than what I would be receiving from a letter of opinion from a realtor, so that's something council may have to decide on. In cases of severances, some municipalities like Whitestone, if you're severing a property with a dwelling and creating a new lot, they take the appraised value without the dwelling, so they just account for the land. Each municipality does it differently, so we can keep continuing moving forward with just accepting letters of opinion. I think that will result in the highest parkland dedication fee, but I think within the fees and charges bylaw for staff, it just needs to be defined.
I remember when subdivisions were going in, they were popular. There's always that question, too, the 5% of the it's undeveloped land that you would, before they actually were divided into lots. And so you got a lot less as a township, or you could take a lot, or sometimes two, depending on the size of the subdivision. But it was valued on the, as you say, just the vacant land before development. Councillor Keegan?
Right at the top, there's the hard copy of official plan and hard copy of zoning bylaw. Whitestone charges $12, and I think that that is a piece of information that an individual shouldn't really be restricted or costs or whatever in place to restrict the access of that. I think that that's a piece of information that should be available to anyone that asks for it, like hard copy.
Well, it is available online, certainly, and they could print it themselves. So I guess that's the question. If we're printing it, and you've got an off, what do we charge per page for printing?
55 cents.
55 cents. So, you know, if you run into 60, 70 pages, quick math, I don't think $12 is going to cover it.
I just think that that's a piece of information that anyone should have access to at no charge. That's just my opinion.
Which they do.
Well, a hard copy if they want a hard copy.
Which they do.
Well, no. If they want to come to the office and request a hard copy. Just my opinion, I think that that should be accessible to anyone that wants a hard copy of it. Either of those documents.
Well, let's talk about return on investment. How much is our photocopier costing us?
Anyways, that's my opinion. I've known people that have come in and been shocked that they actually have to pay for a copy of it, so I'm just relaying what I've heard from the public.
Councilman Zulak?
I know at one time there was no cost for it, and I was shocked when I came in to get get a copy, and it was, you know, you had to pay for it. Yeah.
Well, as I say, at what point do you decide that all ratepayers are going to pay for your photocopier? They're not cheap, and we have a maintenance fee too, which is quite expensive. And if we start, we've already talked about things for council, large colored copies, should we be copying those if we have it available on our computers? So if we're trying to cut back on our usage for the photocopier, I'm not sure if this is moving forward by charging less when the copier is used more.
I think, too, it used to be where not as many people had the computers, or they could go on their phone and whatever and do it. You know, it was basically, you know, you came in and you got a hard copy of it. But a lot of people, like the meetings or anything, if they want information, they'll go and they won't come into the office and get a copy of the agenda package, whereas it used to be like that.
Yeah, ever since I've been here, I haven't printed off a copy of the official plan or zoning bylaw for anyone coming in.
They'll usually pinpoint the information they want and probably ask more than wanting a whole copy, probably.
Or print one page instead of the whole document.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
still on planning?
Yes.
Okay.
So, minor variance. So in the previous version, it was $750, and then the $500 deposit, it specified it was for professional plus professional costs. So if the descriptions may be expanded, same with site plan agreement. It says non-refundable application fee $300, deposit $500, and the deposit was previously stated as for plus registration and professional costs if required. So it gave a little bit of an explanation of what those costs were. Site plan agreement, non-refundable application fee, plus registration and professional costs if required, and that was for the deposit. And deeming bylaw, plus $400 deposit for registration and legal costs. Just so there's a bit of an explanation what that deposit is for.
And it may be useful too, because that's sort of a minimum. It could go over that and they may have to pay more. So I don't know how you put all that in our chart, but unless you just put minimum deposit sort of thing. I think when the actual agreement is that they sign, and then there it explains it in more detail.
Yes.
Yes?
Just clarification, where it says holding bylaw removal, there. That's when the township puts a hold on the property, is it not? I think we only had that once. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, it's suggested by the planner that
they put a hold on it.
Yeah.
So, is it saying here that the person's property, they have to pay the $300? And
they're the ones that benefit from having the holding removed. And my understanding of it, unless it's changed, is that they're the only ones that have to be notified that it's being removed. And this is what's upset some people who thought there was a holding. I'm thinking of the golf course in particular. And then the holding was removed by the planner through council, and other people weren't notified of that removal. They didn't think all the conditions had been met for the removal of the holding. So it's to the benefit of the person who has the holding removed. He's limited in what he can do if that hold is on there. So that's why I'm thinking there's a fee to have that removed. He's going to gain from it.
Right. Okay. I'm just thinking of when there was a hold put on a piece of property that the people, individuals, didn't want the hold on.
Right. Well, maybe we wouldn't. Usually on the suggestion
the council,
of the planner.
Yeah, and the council put a hold on the property, and it was up for a year, over a year, the hold was on?
Yeah, it depends. I guess, say there's certain conditions attached to that hold to have it removed.
Yeah.
So if they meet those conditions, it can be removed.
Okay.
But again, you have to go through the legal wording of that to have that holding removed, so somebody has to pay for that expense for the solicitor and the planner. Okay, building. Unless something else I'm planning, go ahead.
No.
Okay.
Building, ready to roll.
Now these came from our CBO, right?
Correct.
These figures. Okay, Councilor Kiker.
So the last time we discussed and made changes to the building permit fees, then there was a requirement for a special public meeting discussing that particularly?
Yes.
Municipalities in Ontario can change the cost of building permits by following specific procedures outlined in the Building Code Act and the Ontario Building Code. Here are the key requirements. Public notice. Municipalities must provide public notice of any proposed changes to the building permit fees. This includes sending a notice by regular mail at least 21 days prior to the proposed meeting. A public meeting must be held to discuss proposed changes. This meeting must be advertised by the municipality. Doesn't need to be published in a newspaper. The municipality must ensure the proposed changes do not breach the code of conduct established by the Building Code Act, and the changes must be based on an annual report. So I guess we'll have a special meeting to want to implement these changes.
Yep, this meeting is just primarily so council sees the fees and then is able to provide recommendations. Once the draft bylaw has been approved, then we would move forward with proper notice of the passing of the bylaw, and like I'd said previously, there is another bylaw that would have to be brought forward with the passing of new building fees.
Anything else for building? On to cemeteries.
since the proposed cemetery bylaw is in this council package, and if you look at the chart, so if you flip, eleven pages, you'll get to the same chart in the cemetery bylaw. But there are discrepancies in the numbers that are on in this chart and the chart.
That was my question. Is it the same chart?
It's, no, there's discrepancies. So if you look at the previous version regarding staking and marking fee, then it said $50 plus HST, and the next transfer fee and $50 plus HST, because there are some things that are HST exempt. So it's, I think it's important to ensure that what requires HST added to it is on that chart. When you look at the bottom of that chart, contribution to care and maintenance for marker and monument installation. So the draft here says flat marker under 173 square inches is $100, and previously there was no charge, so that has increased.
I would reference what we have in the cemetery bylaw as what we would be like starting with, and then if council wants to have other suggestions, but so my apologies. I wouldn't reference the table Schedule F within the fees and charges bylaw. I would more be looking at the rates of tariff for the cemetery bylaw. So we'll get that changed.
Okay.
That makes it easier.
Yeah. And so the next line as well, there's a discrepancy there, whereas the fees and charges bylaw refers to $200, whereas that flat marker over 173 square inches is $113 in the fees and in the cemetery bylaw.
So what I'm hearing is that the Schedule F is going to be revised, but we'll do the cemetery as it is, and then we'll put that, insert that into the fees and charges at some later date.
Okay.
Fire department. Difficult for people to actually know what the fee is. MTO rate.
That's what I have.
And yeah,
that's the old.
Start searching. And I guess it's subject to change too, so maybe that's why it's left that way. I looked up the MTO rate and it's broken into all kinds of different categories. So again, it would be a challenge for anybody to cross-reference and make sure it's the same information you're looking for the type of vehicle, broken into all different categories. Again, it makes it difficult for the public, that's all. But I guess they could call the fire chief for more information.
Yeah, I was going to recommend that. If anyone had a question, ratepayers are always more than welcome to call or email the fire chief.
I was just going to say, if somebody gets a hold of them to wonder about these penalties, it's almost like I'm getting ready to break the law.
Yeah. Councilor Kecker?
There is some fees and charges that are in both the burning bylaw and the fireworks bylaw that aren't mentioned in the fees and charges bylaw. And I think one thing we need to determine is if the related costs, time per officer at $50 per hour for investigation, is actually legitimate. I did discuss this with someone at some point in time and they had never seen this before. So just to determine if these charges per hour per officer to do an investigation is actually legitimate.
Well, we'll have to inquire of the fire chief for that. He came up with the figures, I think.
Well, maybe he could come to a meeting.
Yes.
And we could go over it.
So those are the charges that are not in the fees and charges bylaw.
We'll add that for the next draft.
municipal recovery rates. I'm not sure how these compare to other municipalities, but we're told we can't compare to other ones. But to me, a dump truck is a dump truck. But Councilor Kaga.
Well, I'll help you out, then. As we refer to in the fire department, referring to the current MTO rates, and so the Ontario Provincial Standard Specification has those MTO rates, and it has it for construction equipment. So the amounts that are listed in the chart Schedule A aren't even close to what the Ontario or the current MTO rates are for. Say 10 of dump truck here, it's listed at $40 an hour. The Ontario Provincial Standard Specifications, April 2024, was $114 an hour. And I think it's pretty important to have these accurate rates so that when we've had in the past where the township has done work on some of the unassumed roads and they refer to these rates and indicated how the township can do it so much cheaper than what it actually, if they were to get a contractor. But I think we need to ensure that the rates are actually accurate and reflect the Ontario Provincial Standard Specifications. This specification covers equipment rental rate compensation work on a time Ontario basis. The calculated rate represents the cost of owning and operating equipment and is made up of direct and indirect costs such as fuel, oil, lubrication, field repairs, overhaul, depreciation, financing, storage, and insurance and overhead. So I think it's important to have accurate rates listed in our Schedule H.
Councilor Zuma?
Is that just for the piece of equipment, or does that involve the person also?
Just the piece of equipment.
Because I thought you said person.
No, so it says the rental rates in this schedule are hourly unless otherwise stated and do not include the cost of the operator. Yeah. And so for a backhoe from the Ontario Standard Provincial Specifications is $144 an hour, and a grader ranges because they have different ratings on the size of the piece of equipment. And so a grader ranges from $160 to $385 an hour. So the one that I thought was about the size of ours was about $215 an hour.
So for the equipment, instead of quoting a specific rate, we can quote the MTO rates and the OPSs like we do with the fire department schedule, so that when they change, then we don't have to update our fees and charges bylaw, and then we'll just add a line for operators.
Yes, because they... so you have to...
No, that makes sense. I mean, I think Councillor Zulak brought this up before, the township using township equipment and the crew on upgrading of various roads, and we're looking at the wear and tear on the equipment, especially for roads that are going to be assumed down the road. So this is where we had Craig Moore as an example, I guess, what other one, Bailey's, and it was even the point of quoting for Deerfield through township staff and the equipment. But then we questioned on the wear and tear and all ratepayers paying for that. That's why we looked at the contract. But if you're going to go contract, then certainly you want to make sure that the rates are comparable. I can see you talk about all the things, depreciation and all those things that people don't usually figure into the price. But in our asset management, we have to figure that in. And so if we're actually, it's not as if we're going to rent these pieces of equipment out, and that's what maybe the public might think. It's actually using the equipment for projects where you should maybe going to a contractor. So I think it's good, yes, to bring the values up to you know, what's really worth, rather than you know, a really good deal, I guess. And the equipment might wear out a lot faster. And as you say, the roads would be upgraded much more cheaply. You have to make sure that it's the right standard. Councilor Hoskin, you were going to say something. No?
No, I agree with what you're saying. These rates are extremely low. So it's I think as Carly suggested, that'd be the way to go. And I imagine we don't run into it very often anyway, or
it kind of comes in effect too in insurance claims when the insurance company is asking us how much money we put forward for certain claims. This comes into effect as well.
Right. So makes sense.
Okay, recreation.
I just I'm surprised to see it in there. So if the rec committee ever determined that they want to change that fee, they have to go for a bylaw amendment.
Yeah, and I did.
And to your person.
Oh my, life is getting pretty complicated
yeah.
here.
Again, it's just for the ease of ratepayers and staff when they're looking for fees and charges. Recreation
mm-hmm.
is a fee we do charge. I did remove swimming lessons as they are no longer happening.
Right.
If there's any I'm missing, please let me know. But I think T-ball was the only one.
Right. Okay. So.
And you have other things, but you sort of coordinated differently, so.
Yes. So, what in the case, say, if we decide at some point we did want to start, it would have to be a bylaw amendment, say, if it decided to charge admission for a certain activity in the municipality, it would have to come to council, and council would have to make a bylaw amendment to add that new fee.
Yeah, it is a process, but at the same point,
mm-hmm.
it's keeping all the fees and charges within one document.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess it can be done. It just seems like a bit of work. But
I wonder about that because the recreation committee was charging for yoga indirectly. The instructor was charging.
That was a donation, not a fee.
Yeah.
I think that's been rectified, though, because this person was getting everything free sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's charging the people coming in. Is that right?
And
she
pays the rent now.
She pays the rent? Okay.
Is that how it works? The yoga instructor now pays the normal rent for the facilities? Is that right?
She's put yoga on hold for now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we'll revisit it when she comes back.
Right. Oh, I sort of thought it was changed in the last few months. Thought recreation.
Donations coming in were given to a charity.
Right. Whereas I sort of thought it was changed where she will just be paying the. She will keep whatever admission she gets, but
yeah,
she will be paying rent for the hall. No?
I don't think we were notified that she was to be paying rent.
Oh, okay. I'd have to go back.
I know that she was now going to keep whatever, and it's by donation as well.
Right.
So people could still come to yoga and not pay anything.
Okay.
If they do pay, she was to keep that.
Yeah, that's right. I sort of thought that, well, we can look back at the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The Recreation Committee did pass some sort of motion regarding it, and then it's forward to you guys. So, okay, we'll have a look at it.
Or we can get rid of that Schedule I, because that's liable to change at any point in time. And then if there's other recreation activities that the recreation committee decides to actually charge a fee on, then
yeah, I guess the question is T-ball, there is a charge. I mean, that's been for years, right?
Yeah, it's been there for years, so it may stay for years. So I would say we could just go with it, and if something comes up, which probably nothing's going to come up, but basically that cost covers their, sponsors cover most of their shirt kind of thing. I think we have to make a profit off the poor little children at the end of the day in the program. But if staff feels it makes it more clear having it there, well, we'll just go with that, and if we see a change coming up in the future, well, we'll make it.
Okay, fees and charges, that's okay for that. Now it's committee of the whole, so we can open it up to the public as well. I'm not sure if you have a copy of it, but you do? Okay, great.
Lawrence Rubin, just a few comments. Did staff estimate the incremental revenue from the revised fee schedule, the proposed there any indication of, you know, this is 10% extra revenue for the municipality, or?
No, our treasurer hasn't yet analyzed that yet.
And I was actually a bit surprised. I don't know if this is smaller townships, but I'm looking through the fire department one. If I get into an unfortunate situation where I'm in a car accident, I will be charged by the municipality for the support that the fire department provides in helping me out of a specific situation. Is that how I interpret the charge there?
I was wondering the same thing.
But I mean, unfortunately, I've been in an accident before in a larger municipality, and I never received the bill for the services the fire department had to afford to come for and all that kind of stuff. So it was quite surprised to see that, you know, it's sort of dumping salt on a wound. You know, you're already in a very unfortunate situation and wind up getting a bill several weeks or months later.
Yeah, the municipality wouldn't be charging the person receiving the aid. This more comes into play if the if there was a house fire and the insurance company was asking the charges, because the municipality can recoup if the homeowner has specific insurance coverage. So it's just a way, it's more for insurance and that.
Okay.
It's not that we would be billing people if the fire department came to their home. In the case where, I think one of them is like false alarms, if we had a habitual repair that was, you know, more of a nuisance and there wasn't a real emergency, then that gives the fire department, the fire chief, the opportunity to have a charge in that case, but those are extenuating circumstances.
Okay, no, thank you for that clarity. Yeah, I mean, I certainly understand, you know, when it sort of becomes a punitive charge and a fee because of, you know, wasting resources for their, so I can understand that. And then the only other comment I have is, you know, I suggest municipality not wait 4 years next time to review the fees. You do it on a more frequent schedule, yearly, maybe not necessarily, but every couple of years. You know, everyone experiences cost of living and changes, inflation, that you might also want to think of capturing, besides just also benchmarking against local municipalities. As you know, they all have different cost profiles as well. Thank you.
Yeah, I would think the, I look at the Whitestone one, they review it every year. And so that was one clause they put in there. And this time they reviewed it and said no changes were necessary, so it was easy to deal with. But they do put that in as one of their conditions. And they also give it a name. They call it the Municipality of Whitestone Fees and Charges Bylaw, which seems to make sense, but quite often we do put that in a bylaw. We actually call it something. And the other thing that they've included in there is severability, that if there are any parts of it that found to be unlawful, illegal, then you don't destroy the whole bylaw, just parts of it. So that's another one that I thought was useful. Now, they've included another, I don't know why the council wants to go that far enough, conflict with any other bylaw. And I think Councillor Keckman was referring to that. In the event of any conflict between provisions of this bylaw and any other bylaw heretofore passed, the provisions of this bylaw shall prevail. So they're just saying, in effect, you know, if we haven't caught them all.
And that would have helped staff in the event we did capture everything and staff were, you know, looking at two different fee schedules,
yeah.
Then that kind of tells you your answer. So that would be a good provision to have.
So I did look up the current MTO rates plus personnel plus any additional cost per incident that the fire department can charge. And for something as simple as a pickup truck, it's $280 per hour. And larger equipment is $500 to $600 an hour. But looking at the chart, maybe you can explain the indemnification technology, because I looked at the Municipal Act Section 391.1, and it didn't give any clarification on what that is.
I would have to ask for clarification on that as well. It may be a part of, again, the insurance claims. I believe Firemark made reference to indemnification technology, but I'm just unsure as to what that means, but I can look into it.
Okay, anyone online wish to comment on the fees and charges? Okay, still in committee of the whole then, we can move on to the draft cemetery bylaw version 2. And we'll just start through page by page again, I guess. Councilor Kevin.
So first line, the whereas section 150 of Ontario Regulation 3011, made under the Funeral, Burial, and Cremation Services Act 2002, provides that, I think it is only specific to that the operator, it does not mention owner in that section. I think the owner is referred to in section 85, so we just keep it exactly as, in the current version, it just referred to as operator, didn't mention owner in that first whereas.
And I know some of these clauses were removed last time, but I'm wondering about the fourth whereas, whether we should keep it. Because often they say that it's desirable, it's something in the public's interest to do this, otherwise you wouldn't be doing it. So I'm thinking that clause should maybe stay. Now, I know, Councilor Keckerty, you mentioned keep it as brief as possible, but that one shows up in quite a few bylaws. In the public's best interest, certainly. As a reason to pass the bylaw. I found this one interesting as well. An act says follows, and then it just seems to sit there, but it's the whole thing that follows.
Mm-hmm.
And then the actual signatures go at the very end. And I thought the usual would be to put that right under there, but I looked at the old one, and it does the same thing. It just lists the whole, all the wording and the different categories, and then you have the signature at the very end of it, which is unusual for a bylaw. Quite often, everything goes at once, and then you have the bylaw attached as an Appendix A or a Schedule A. But this, I guess, could work. That's the way it's been done. So.
There are a few like that.
If you were removing 2012-18, which was an amendment to 2012-14, we also have 2016-06, which was another amendment. And I'm not sure if you have to repeal an amendment. If you have the original bylaw that now includes the amendment, if you're repealing the original bylaw, that should take care of any amendments. But that's assuming, of course, that those amendments have been incorporated into the original bylaw. This is where it gets confusing. It's quite often they're not consolidated, and you lose the amendment. And you just have the original sitting in front of you, and it hasn't been updated in a sense. So it's probably safer to even delete the amendment, you know, as you've done. Councilor Peckin?
Did you mention bylaw and bylaw 2016-06?
Right, just mentioned it.
Yeah, okay.
Probably should include that. If we're going to take out owner, then up above two in the actual description of the bylaw, owners in the owned by the corporation. I'll have to get clarification on that. Is it within those lines above?
Removing operator, correct? Keeping owner in the first whereas and removing operator?
I think the other way around. No.
The other way around?
Yeah.
Provides that the operator of every cemetery may, and
so above that we'd have to get rid of owner too, just for management.
And
all cemeteries operated by the corporation.
The previous versions it actually did have, but we did discuss the township doesn't own all the cemeteries that it operates or can operates, I guess.
Right, that's the problem.
Yeah, but it's interesting that the previous versions in, it doesn't mention in the first whereas, it refers to as operating, but in the bylaw description, being a bylaw to establish rules and regulations for the management and control of all cemeteries owned by the corporation. That's the previous versions,
mm-hmm.
but the township doesn't own all the...
No, and I think that's what, there was a, maybe a slip up in the past.
Previous.
Yeah. I was wondering on Section A, and it's good to see the sections in there, all delineated, so they're easy to find. Section A definitions, and I know that you have it highlighted for cemetery. I'd come across this, I don't know why it was in the regulations or where I saw it, that each cemetery should have its own address and specify open or closed. Some of them are closed.
I think that would just be helpful to staff too.
Right. And I guess, yeah, the names and the addresses for the different sites. And you've covered the operator as the township, and I think that's good. Yes?
Just in that highlighted, just a spelling mistake there on this second last line, united, it says untied.
Thank you.
This is great. We've got more people looking for typos now. Take some of the pressure off. Anything else? Just whatever page comes up, I guess. I was wondering, I kept thinking of changing it for like for hours of operation being 1.0 and then breaking it like the planners often do this and then they go 1.1, 1.2 and then the general conduct would be 2.0, but then it gets confusing because you have to start all over again with 1 and 2 in your next section. So what you've done is carried that right through, so there's some continuity there. I'm just trying to think of our planning reports, what they often do in the official plan. It gets quite complicated because they'll end up with about 7 or 8 numerals, all with a dot or a period in between them, and it's very confusing.
I thought this may be easier for referencing because
right.
you're referencing a specific paragraph and then...
Yeah.
There are cases where Roman numerals are added in, but not too frequently.
I was glad to see the upright monuments inserted. I think that was good to have that.
So that was, yeah, so the chart. So is that removed from the chart, the upright monuments?
Yes, the ones larger than 4 feet.
Right, they crossed that out, and yet it was still in the chart.
It's in the chart. So.
Oh, okay, I will put that in the chart.
Again, I noticed Whitestone took care of it by calling it up to 4x4. And they didn't go over that. I know we talked about it last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So that I guess they can go 4 wide, too, and then 4 high.
Right.
Any other typos there? We'll call on you now.
No, not that I see. It was a fluke that I noticed it.
No, it's looking good. A lot of changes there. So.
these changes are fairly minor in nature, I'll go ahead and make those, and then we'll have a draft. Like, I'm taking that as the draft being approved. So then we'll go through the proper notice channels. Each vendor that has provided markers to our cemeteries within the last year will be receiving a copy, as well posted notice of the intention to pass the bylaw will be posted to all cemeteries. And also, I confirmed with the BAO because one of their notice requirements is a published ad in a local newspaper, and I said that we do not have a newspaper in print. Does that still meet the requirements? And the BAO said, yes, we could have a digital advertisement within the Perry Sound North Star, and they would just accept the receipt of that advertisement charge as proof of notice in a paper.
Sounds good. Now, at what point, what's the turnaround time? Do you know when you send it to the registrar?
I'm not sure. This is the first time I've sent a cemetery bylaw to the registrar. I can ask them when I submit it to them if they can provide me with a time frame. And there, you know, we do need to give the opportunity for the vendors to also provide comment as well. So we'll put it through now, but I'm not quite sure whether it'll take a few weeks, a few months, but it will be within the process.
Okay, any other comments on that? I'll open up to the public too. It's still committee of the whole. Okay. Yeah, resolution 25-239, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Haskin, be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McCullough is hereby reconvened into regular session at
8:55.
8:55 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 14.1. Resolution 25-240, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin, be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby approved the minutes of May 20th, 2025 regular meeting of Council as circulated. Discussion of those minutes? Call the question. In favor? Are you opposing? You're in favor? Okay. None opposed, Carrie.
You good?
I saw him doing it, so.
Good.
On to 16.1, we have resolution 25-241, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes for the Township of McKellar Recreation Committee meeting on May the 22nd, 2025 for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Point two, we have resolution 25-242, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes for the Town of Perry Sound Emergency Medical Services Advisory Committee meeting on May the 22nd, 2025 for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Councilor Kekkonen?
So with the other business, 8.1 in their minutes, and it refers to the Brooks Falls renovation project, and the actual dollar figure amount needed to be financed in the project having a 50 or 40% increase over budget. So just that's going to be reflected at some point in future levies, or if we can get a clarification on what were the cost overruns or.
Well, that takes me back to the 1990s, I think, when they did the Who Does What and the downloading. They made sure that the municipalities got the EMS and the emergency, and because they knew then probably the fees were going to increase. And it's getting quite high now, and municipalities have to pay for that. So. Mm-hmm. And as they have to replace equipment and keep up the legislated criteria, and I think it's going to get more and more expensive.
And as well, responsibilities that the municipalities receive, such as POA, was supposed to generate a significant amount of revenue for the municipalities, and that has not been the case for quite a few years. So,
miscalculation, or
it's just like you say, there's a lot of legislative changes and you know, IT costs and.
Any further discussion? Call a question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-243, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes for the District of Prairie Sound West, Belvedere Heights, Board of Management meeting on March the 26th, 2025, for information purposes. Discussion? Looked like a lot done of those meetings. They were long minutes. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 16.4, resolution 25-244, moved by Councillor Haskins, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes for the District of Prairie Sound West, Belvedere Heights, Board of Management meeting on April the 23rd, 2025, for information purposes. Discussion? Councillor Kekkonen.
So 5.0, and it's cybersecurity overview. I think this had a lot of interesting information that would be relevant to the municipality too, and it does speak about many still underestimate the need for cyber insurance, but it's essential due to the widespread use of digital communication and cloud storage, just to ensure that we have adequate cyber insurance in our policies. And as well, I know that Near North Business Machines have sort of done a sort of review of our cybersecurity.
So they could be asked if we have to increase.
Yeah, because it says that before $1 million policy was considered, is now considered minimal by current standards due to increasing claims from phishing and ransomware. They now suggest $3 or $5 million limits.
So the Treasurer is currently doing the annual insurance renewal for our insurance policy, and I spoke to Al Dobson this week regarding cybersecurity insurance, so he highly recommends that the municipality does get it. So Roshan is putting in a request for insurance company, then they give the municipality a form, which Mr. Dobson will fill out and complete, and he said because now the township has high cybersecurity features, that should be at a discount to our premium.
Great.
Help pay for his costs.
Mm-hmm. As well, so moving on here to 9.0, some real good financial stats there for Belvedere. Year-to-date revenue is approximately $246,000 over budget, so they have additional revenue. And nursing expenses are coming in under budget by $130,000 year to date. And overall expenses forecast to be $385,000 under budget by year end, primarily due to underspending in nursing departments. Overall financial position, operating balance, approximately $1.3 million in surplus. So some good news from Belvedere.
Well, it's how you interpret, I guess, what the Treasurer is telling you. It sounds like good news, but what did they budget in the first place? Did they over budget so they'd have a surplus at the end? We don't know the ins and outs. All I'm saying is keep in mind that when the debenture comes forward next year for the new build, we'll be into it again, so hopefully the Belvedere, whether Councillor Zulak can attest to this, can cover the costs, and we'll just sort of be there as a guarantor.
Well,
but
so that's supposed to be the way it is. So far it has, but you don't know when the final costs come in.
We hope we don't have another debenture on our books.
No,
but
we don't need one.
Councillor Kekkonen.
what this shows me is that not agreeing to approving the line of credit was a wise decision on the part of McKellar Township,
exactly.
Just because they're swimming in money over there. So
I don't think they're swimming in money, but
so it's just we can refer to these if they come back for another attempt at a line of credit.
Okay. Any further discussion of those minutes? All the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. On to 19.1, resolution 25-245, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Whereas the McKellar Recreation Committee and the Broadbent Snowbugs Committee will be celebrating the Canada Day long weekend by holding a barbecue and fireworks display on Saturday, June 28, 2025, at the Broadbent Ballpark. And whereas the Broadbent Snowbugs Committee will be raising $1,000 in funds for the purchase of a fireworks display for this event. And whereas all residents of McKellar are welcome to attend these events and to ensure that there is a fantastic fireworks display, the Broadbent Snowbugs requests that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar donate funds towards the purchase of additional fireworks for this event. And whereas the Broadbent Snowbugs would also like to thank all event sponsors, including the McKellar Recreation Committee, the Township staff, and the McKellar firefighters for their support. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby donate funds to the Broadbent Snowbugs Committee for the purchase of additional fireworks for the fireworks display on June 28, 2025 at the Broadbent Ballpark. And further, that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar direct staff to notify the Broadbent Snowbugs of said donation in the amount agreed upon by Council. Discussion. That's leaving it open.
Did the township provide some funding in the past?
I know 2017 they did. That's when the number of events for Canada's 150th took place, and there were some events that couldn't occur, so there was money in the budget for it. So there was a donation made to the Broadbent Snowbugs, so they had a larger fireworks display. Since then, I'm not sure how often they've had the display, and then with COVID, that they probably didn't have any. So it was donated back in 2017, but I'm not sure since.
It would have been good to have a bit of an update on how much we have left in the budget for donations, grants to organizations, and discretionary donations. And we do have the other that we've already committed, the scholarships donations. So I'm not sure what we have left in the budget for donation and grants to organizations and discretionary donations. Because we have made a few donations over the past little while.
It'd be good to get that update. I'm not sure.
We can provide an update and perhaps defer this because the event's not happening until, well, I guess, well, never mind, yeah.
Well, I think we'd be safe even if we made a $100 donation.
That might be one firework, though.
Yeah.
They're expensive.
They already, seems like they've already raised 1,000.
I thought it said they were wanting to.
I think in the letter, in the council package.
Well, the chief.
Yeah.
I don't think
they were hoping
to get. Will achieve. So I don't think they've raised it.
There's also the line item in the budget for committees that apply for a grant. There was no grants this year, so that money is also available within the budget.
And that would be one of those two line items, I believe, that was mentioned.
Right. So we've been pulling from the discretionary donations for the donations thus far in this year, but the line item that's specific towards people applying for a donation or grant, that hasn't been used.
How much was that? You don't know.
Around 5,000 or something.
Was it 5?
Well, I'm trying to think. Councilor Kekkonen will have
it.
Yeah,
it was. I think it was 5,000. Yeah, so donations, grants to organizations was 4,000 and discretionary donations was 5,000. So that included the MLC water testing, I believe. Or is that
no, the water testing is a separate line.
Okay, that's yeah, that used to, there was three or four different.
Well, in the past, I know the one was for the herd bill, the steps or something leading into the hall, and also the I guess the bird boxes that were making Uber.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
And but that was previous year. This year, there's been nothing, like you said. Nobody had applied. So,
so do you think 1,000 is too much?
Well, the cost of fireworks, I don't think it is. It's
no,
not,
I don't.
It's not going to go very
so.
Far.
I don't think so, and if we haven't used it, and it's in the budget, I don't see why we don't do it. And it's for McKellar.
Yeah, because I believe for a while we were donating to McDougall for their fireworks display a few years back.
She's having a dollar amount.
And just remember, if it's not in the budget, it comes out of your paycheck.
No problem. No problem.
So the amendment is in the first now, therefore, the funds was deleted and it said $1,000. So hereby donate $1,000 to the Broadbent Snowbugs Committee. That's the amendment, which we'll call for a vote on. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. And then there's a resolution as amended, including the $1,000 to the Broadbent Snowbugs Committee. Call the question on that. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried.
The interest rate is 3.99%. So can that change? They can change that? Or is that hold for the 10 years?
That's locked in.
Is yeah,
locked?
That's locked
okay.
in. And it is higher than what was previously discussed earlier in the year. And they've noted that the volatility in the market has increased the interest rate.
Okay.
Hoping that the tender was out shortly.
Has it gone out?
It was received today, so now we just have to get it on the website and invitations out.
Oh, excellent.
Good.
It was received at the end of the day today, I should
okay,
have.
Good. Good. I'll take that off the list.
But now this is what we, again, the public has to be aware that this is from, and it's been extended, because it was just for, from, what's the road, it used to be 305,
to Donnelly.
Donnelly Road, yes, down to Burnett's Road originally, but the engineer was able to stretch that down to the fire hall.
Correct.
Has it now?
Yes.
And so people have to realize that we'll see what the tenders come in at. But $3 million is set aside for that. There's still the section, of course, that we talked about projects earlier in the meeting, capital projects for next year, or maybe this year, depending on what the prices come in at, to extend from the fire hall down through to Broadbent Road. So that's another, that's in the works. It would be great if it could all be done this year. But
yeah, $3 million is for the whole project, overspread over 2 years?
I think, depending on what we find out from the tenders, I think that would just be for the first part.
Yeah,
I think he quoted us. I think he quoted us 2 point something originally, 2.8 or 9. So we'll have to see what they come in at. But.
Yeah, I sort of thought that was for the whole stretch.
Oh well, let's hope it is.
7.3 or whatever it is, kilometers.
Yeah. That would be good if it is. But that's what I had said to you before. It depends on what the tenders come in at, whether we proceed with something like this. And if it comes in at, for this portion, which is a little over half the distance, let's say $5 million, then council has some decisions to make. Yes, Councilor.
But I think you noted previously that it would be nice if the project could be done in 1 year, the
yes.
whole project, because you're going to have the public complaints of, oh, why did they stop it at the fire hall or Jones Road? But anyways, it's the whole project is the goal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's just a question of, as I say, the money that we have in debentures is something new to us. Normally we did it internally, but we certainly can't do that with this amount. And no grants available, so we can do it piece by piece. See, as I say, see what the tender comes in at. But like you say, you wouldn't want it torn up twice, so it'd be nice to do it all at once. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 21.2. Resolution 25-247, moved by Councillor Peckin, second by Councillor Zulak. We resolve the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller does hereby give bylaw number 2025-3, being a bylaw to set tax ratios for municipal purposes for the year 2025, a first and second reading, further read a third time and passed in open council this third day of June 2025. Discussion? We just need clarification on that one because the bylaw repeals the previous one. Just so the public is aware. We touched on it earlier. But.
When the tax ratio bylaw was first passed at the beginning of this year, the aggregate extraction property class was left out, and the municipality received notice of that at the end of 2024. So the old bylaw is being repealed, and this new one being put forward to include that property tax class, as it's required for the next bylaw you see on the agenda for the adoption of taxes to provide the final billings for 2025.
And I guess you wouldn't know, I'm sure, what effect that's going to have as far as moving the prices around, I guess, now that people who are probably, I mean, I was told that it was under industrial, which was a 1.1%, now it's 0.89. So we're not sure what that does to how many people would be affected, how many properties, or who's going to pick up that change.
No, I'm not sure at
no.
this point.
Okay. Councillor Zulak?
I'm just on the next. Okay, it's the next one. Yeah,
okay.
I'll wait.
All the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Resolution 25-248, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Hassman. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby give bylaw number 2025-31, being a bylaw to provide for the adoption of tax rates and to further provide for penalty and interest and default of payment thereof for the year 2025, a first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed and open the Council this third day of June 2025. Discussion? Councillor Zulak?
I'm just curious, under the different municipalities, like they have McKellar, but they don't have Bracebridge listed, and they have a huge aggregates there.
They may be covered under the District of Muskoka. I don't know if that's on the list.
Yeah. Muskoka District, yeah.
Yes,
they
can capture it out of that tier.
I was just thinking, how are they getting off?
So if this looks familiar to the public, the previous bylaw that was passed with an interim tax rate, right?
Correct.
This one takes further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. The unfinished business, looking on the chart. Notice it's getting smaller.
Mm.
Good. Any new business? Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members. Councilor Zulak.
I have
a comment on a long minutes from Belvedere. Oh.
No, this will be quick. Okay, the annual information meeting is going to be held on June the 18th and at 3 o'clock, and it's by Zoom only, and that is mainly because of the construction going on there. There's no, there's no room.
Now, a quick question. Does that just go out to elected officials, or is that out to the general public?
It should be out to the general public.
But they don't seem to advertise on their site when they have a meeting.
We've been through this, Dave.
I know, you're on the board, so.
I know, and I keep, I'm trying. It's not working. 3 years. So, hopefully, in this new, we have a new administrator that's been hired, and they start on July the 2nd. $130,000 was set aside in the budget, and so we're on track with that. It came in under that. His name is Joel Pennant, who is from Dundalk. He worked for 3 years in a 96-bed private home in Mount Forest. And our present administrator, she'll be leaving July the 11th, so there will be a little bit of an overlap for them to, you know, get adjusted. Belvedere has 76 people on a waiting list, and there are no vacancies at present. That's it for Belvedere.
No. That notice, is that on the township website?
Yes.
It is? Okay, good.
Yeah, and I got her to put it in the package too. So, and also, just the McCullough Library. The new staff are working out well. This NIP was working out well. And also the new CEO, Lynn Campbell, she's doing a great job so far. And then there's a lot of things going on this month. Cricket Beginners Workshop, June the 5th at 1 o'clock. Card embroidery, June the 11th. Sewing with Lori, June 24th. The book club, June 24th. Knitting club, June the 3rd to the 17th and 17th. McCrafters, June the 10th and June the 24th. Mark your calendar for kids, July the 8th through to August 19th, every Tuesday from 3 to 4. No registration and it's free. There's quite a few things going on this summer. Another interesting thing is legal education seminar, July the 10th from 1 to 2:30. It will be about wills and the POA and estate planning. It's a free seminar. And the McKellar Market begins June 28th every Saturday from 10 to 1. And during the summer, the library stays open until 2 o'clock. So after you go to the market, you could drop in at the library. That's it.
Excellent. And I think they do a lot of our advertising too. So
Yeah, they do.
Okay, Councilor
Packard. So on May 22nd, we had a brief POA Zoom meeting, and no major changes. There has been some staff changes at the POA, and new staff has been working out good. And there was a retirement of one individual who had been there for 25 years and had done an incredible job just. With the entire process, but the one thing that was mentioned is that the POA clerks and managers meet sort of regularly with the Attorney General just to provide input on improvements or changes, and he couldn't go into specifics, but he did indicate that there was a very strong possibility that there would be legislative changes to allow municipalities to collect the tens of millions of dollars of unpaid fines. So that's in the works, and he seemed hopeful that there would be some changes within the next year. So, because there's, in Ontario, there's outstanding fines in the tune of tens of millions of dollars. So,
but who would be in charge of collecting? Because if it's municipalities, you might as well say goodbye to it.
No, it's So some of the fines that are outstanding are go to the province and some go to municipalities. So, but the good news is that there's some hope on the horizon.
Okay.
Yeah, I had the rec committee meeting. As you've seen, you got the minutes, so if you have any questions, I'll try to answer them. The T-ball program started last night. Yeah, last night I was there, and it looks like Heather has it well under control. So it's that should go well. We had a resignation at the last meeting. Joyce Hopkins has resigned after 17 years, so she'll be missed on the recreation committee. And the new chairperson is Diana Ryland Brown. So that's sort of the highlights of what happened. So obviously we've got the programs going on, but that's it for the rec committee. And Perry Sound Area Planning Board, David, you were at it too. I believe all applications were approved. I think two were from McKellar, and I think one each from the other municipalities, Carlin, Whitestone, McDougal. Okay, I think so they're all approved. Basically, as far as there was a comment at the municipal meeting by the RMVP about possibly granting certain municipalities to be removed from Perry Sound Area, from not Perry Sound Area Planning Board, but from planning boards. As you remember, has there been any information regarding that at all?
I did have a meeting with the province 2 weeks ago now. And Christopher Brown from the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing is creating a recommendation to the minister on how to deal with the Perry Sound Area Planning Board. So McDougal and Carling have asked to exit. So he went around to the clerks and CAOs of the member municipalities and interviewed them. And he also spoke with Patrick Christie, the Secretary Treasurer. So he's just on a fact-finding mission to put together a report. He did mention that McKellar's resolution explaining why the township didn't want the two parties to exit really did spearhead this report. So that was good to hear that a resolution that was passed did make some waves. So he hasn't shared what the report will say, and I'm sure we will hear at some point, but they are making a report to the minister.
Okay. So it may have an impact in moving ahead next year, depending how quickly they move.
Yeah.
Any other reports? Consent agenda correspondence? Resolution 25-249, moved by Councillor Keckinen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you wish pulled from that to discuss? I don't know whether we should be getting more involved with Bill 5. There seem to be a lot of municipalities picking up on that and opposing it. Just a heads up to staff to look into that more. Call the question then, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Question, comment period related items on the agenda, either online or in person.
Not any questions, just a comment. Just try and avoid abbreviations for the public, because they may not understand what they are when you're discussing things. Sometimes you're quite good at explaining and giving context, but POA, for example, I'm online trying to figure out what that means and not being able to, so just be careful, because the public will lose the trail of the conversation.
Yeah, no, that's excellent, and we try to catch that. Certainly in the documentation, we make sure that the acronym is actually after, like MLCA sort of thing, it would say Manitowoc Lake Community Association, and then in brackets later. And but I think that's a good point.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Keckinen?
So the QA is the Provincial Offenses Act, and there's
I did find it towards the end. That wasn't something I would have ever thought that found it eventually, but thank you.
Yeah, so clarification that if anyone was wondering what it meant, so.
And I had mentioned I think I did spell it out, the Public Sector Accounting Board. That was the PSAP, that was back in 2009 or 10, when all of this change came for our assessment and our asset management plan and how to make all the changes. So I don't know whether you had an opportunity to look that up, but there were big changes back then, and we've been following the procedure ever since. And so one of those things that I mentioned was the allocating different staff funds for different projects. And it doesn't seem to fit there, but that's where they want it. So.
Yeah, no, I have an email still outstanding with Roshan trying to get an understanding of those rules.
Right.
Because I actually have a coworker who's a counselor in the municipality up by Sault Ste. Marie, and they don't do it that way. They're a municipality. So I'm just trying to understand, you know, what the rules are, and clearly there's different interpretations out there. Maybe.
Yeah, that's interesting that they don't, because I thought we were forced into it. Okay, we have resolution 25-250, moved by Councillor Haskins, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-32, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed an open Council this third day of June 2025. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-251, moved by Councillor Keckin and seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
9:30 p.m.
to meet again on June the 6th, 2025, for a special closed meeting of Council or at the call of the Mayor. Call the question. All those